Welcome to Everything's Not Black and White with your hosts, Lala and Brian.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's episode. We are so thrilled to have today's guest with us. All of us know that the things around the world right now have been really challenging to our mental health, our emotional health, and even our physical health. And so when we're experiencing so much trauma, it can really wreak havoc on our whole cellular structure. And I know as a person, I really love to be in nature and how nature does have a healing property to it. And so our next guest today is really going to be talking about how nature can help with trauma-informed care and how we are able to also give back to nature and help heal our world. So everybody, they, them, us, please welcome Tracy Tuescher to the Everything's Not Black and White podcast. Hi, Tracy.
Welcome, Tracy.
Hi, wee! Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for welcoming me to your beautiful podcast. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be with you all today and to all with all of your listeners.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you. And I had the pleasure of meeting Tracy a couple months ago, and we've been talking, and I was just so impressed and blown away by her, not just her warmth and compassion, but just also her depth of knowledge. And I wanted to make sure we were able to share that with our audience. And so we're glad you are here. So why don't you start with a little bit of an introduction to who you are so our audience can get to know you a little bit better?
I am by profession an accredited communicator. I've worked in the field of communications and consulting and branding for more than 20 years. I'm also certified in negotiation and conflict resolution because I think that it is extremely important for us as communicators to be especially equipped with those skills. And I'm also a certified naturalist and a certified ecotherapist. And some of the reasons that I have been called to develop these skills is because as a human being, I'm in that highly sensitive person category. I'm an empath. I have some gifts around being able to sense the felt life of nature. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to be uniquely equipped as a communicator in this ever-evolving world that we share, to be able to help to facilitate conversations and coalition building that are sometimes difficult, and also to be able to contribute to the restoration of human nature relationships in a way that heals both humans and nature.
I love that so much. And we have so much in common, and people who are listen to us frequently know, you know, both I've been an accredited communicator as well and such an empath. So I deeply feel when there's hurt and pain in people, and I'm honestly drawn to it in a way to make sure that people can have ways to release that and release it in a positive healing resolution instead of growing resentment. So I love that's where your head is going in this world. Did you know early on this was going to be a part of your work? Like, or how did you come to say, you know, at what point in your life you were like, this is what I need to do. This is what I want to do.
I have always known that my true calling and the future of my life was going to lead me into using and developing these skills and gifts around communication and interpretation and writing and poetry and nature healing and energy healing kinds of skills to be able to serve the wider community and to be able to serve the wider world. And it's been kind of a unique journey, you know, like it is for many of us. It's been a unique sort of a journey that's brought me to this place where this process has been, for me, sort of undeniable and greatly expedited. Mm-hmm. I think that I reached a point after raising my daughter as a single mother and helping her move through the successful completion of her college experience and coming into this space where I was suddenly able, I suddenly had the more time and more energy to be able to go into these deeper questions that had always resided inside me about my greater purpose, I started to feel what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. calls the fierce urgency of now. And it became something that was undeniable for me. It was like, this is what you have to do, and you have to give it everything that you have, and you have to do it now. And everything that I'm learning about what's happening in the world and what's happening in our environment around the planet has been a constant affirmation of that voice inside me.
Yeah, first of all, I just love all that aspect of how you're thinking through it, experiencing, you know, not only your maternal instincts and what that meant to raise your daughter, but also thinking about the mothering of Mother Earth, right? I think about that a lot. So that maternal side of you is so relevant and beautiful. And it's a beautiful kind of line that kind of brings us to a thought around, you know, when you think about the immense amount of trauma that we have been experiencing societally in the world, you know, and not just in the human factor, but also ecologically, like you were talking about earlier, it's astonishing. Like, it's almost like it's so rampant that it's hard to even find moments of respite. And so I think a lot about your greater purpose and the ecotherapy pieces that you're talking about. Like, how is all of this trauma really affecting our bodies? And I'll say our bodies in totality, meaning our mental health, mind, body, spirit, the whole nine.
I want to start by prefacing my answer to that question with sort of an entry point of context. We are, as human beings, we are the youngest species on the planet. We are the baby species. Mm-hmm. We have not been here that long. And when we think about this greater picture of who we are and what it means to be human, we have spent 99.99% of our evolutionary time in a state of mutualism and reciprocity and living in and into natural environments. We've only been in this highly developed technological sort of age of our evolution for an extremely short period of time. And so our bodies and our minds, and one can say even our spirits, our consciousness, cannot adapt to that rapid rate of change that quickly, any more than our Earth Mother can adapt quickly enough to the ecological harm that is happening to the planet. And so what we've learned, you know, this used to be, you know, qualitative data, you know, sort of self-reported information. And now the sciences has really come to show us that these things are absolutely true in terms of what is happening to our bodies and our minds. What happens is that we're sort of in this permanent, what's described as like a permanent condition of stress. Now, this is before we entered into persistent pandemic conditions and some of these compounding traumas, which I'll touch on in a moment. But we have a highly stressed systems as human beings. So I want you to think about this in two different ways. So we have this sympathetic nervous system, which is kind of the part of us that mobilizes our stress response. It's the part of our physiology that's responsible for that fight, flight, freeze response. And so what's happening when we are in these persistent conditions of stress is that that sympathetic nervous system is overactive, and our parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of our physiology that's responsible, it's called the rest and digest system, that part of us that allows us to go into a state of deep rest, deep relaxation, and where that healing and disease prevention can take place, that gets squashed. It sometimes, with too much persistent conditions of stress, it sometimes can be completely deactivated. That's when we're talking about things like burnout, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we're sort of collectively suffering from as, and I don't know where all your listeners are listening from, but here in Western industrialized colonial capitalist culture, we are suffering from what is now being called the nature deficit disorder. because we are people of nature and we are nature. And we've sort of been sold this bill of goods by our culture that we are somehow separate from another than, in a culture that has commodified people and planet for profit and devalued and depersonified both humans and the more than human to that end. And so here we are. Here we are. Just, you know, sort of stepping into that sphere and sort of allowing ourselves to sit in that for a moment. This is just high level stuff right here, not to go too deep, because I know we don't have a whole lot of time. But here we are now living together in this profound time of global cultural and ecological trauma that some psychologists are now calling the traumasphere. Literally listening to a very beautiful psychologist and practicing ecotherapist over the weekend who really touched on this very deeply. And I think that we have to make space for that. I mean, I'm going to touch on a couple of things that we've all been experiencing, not to go too deep, and then I'm going somewhere with this, so just follow me for a second. So here we are, we're coming out of these persistent pandemic conditions, nearly 7 million lives lost. We're coming into this, you know, just this week. I mean, I think the timing of this conversation is so incredibly deep, because just this week on Monday, we have the IPCC releasing this incredibly profound report on the ways in which global warming is happening more rapidly than was originally forecasted in 2021 and 2022. The fact that we are now living in what I call the critical decade. There have to be so many rapid changes within the next 7 to 10 years to prevent warming to an extent that will result in catastrophic system collapses of ecosystems, of agriculture, of infrastructure, of human life, of more than human life, et cetera, right? So there's that. I mean, we're living in this period of the sixth mass extinction. We're living during this period of profound work towards creating a more just and equitable and inclusive world where all life is valued.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that's happening in our world that I think that we have to create. We have, and our culture says, you know what, just, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message that we get from our culture. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Don't take time to feel anything.
Yeah.
Just keep going. You know, don't make space for that grief.
Yeah.
For your internal life, for your felt experiences. And then on top of that, we are all, as individual people and families, we're experiencing our own personal traumas.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, loss of homes, illness, loss of a beloved companion animal. The list goes on, right? I had this really fantastic experience, this really fantastic opportunity to hear Dr. Mays Imad speak last year in spring of 2022. And she's a neurobiologist. And what she was talking about is that when we experience these compounding traumas in this way, that it affects our ability to learn, to cope, and to connect. It also causes sort of like a chronic fatigue sort of state. It affects our short-term memory. It causes us to experience overwhelm much faster than we normally would. So it's basically, it's creating less resilience for us as human beings, right?
Yeah.
And the way that she explained it, and I was able to listen to her for an entire day, but to give you just one little nugget that I thought was such a beautiful example, the way that she described it is she said, you know, have you ever seen one of those cartoons where the guy's at the bottom, the little guy or the little lady is at the bottom of the hill, and they're rolling this huge boulder up to the top of the hill, and then the boulder rolls back down and squashes them? She explained that that's the way that our physiology and our brains are responding to this kind of compounding trauma.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll roll the rock, you know, the giant boulder up to the top of the hill, and then it rolls back down and it squashes us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's what we're experiencing.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons why I am so excited. I'm so excited about ecotherapy practices and nature-based healing.
I'm a person who believes very much that nature and humanity are connected. I always enjoy being out in near water, especially. I love being near water. Water is very calming to me. It's very soothing to me. You know, but unfortunately, I do live in the middle of Ohio, and I don't get to the beaches that I would love to be able to watch the waves come in and the sunset and those kind of things. So what kind of things can people do in wherever they are, if they're not directly connected to some of the natural things that they may be in love with and want to be around? Like, what kind of things can they do wherever they're at to have that kind of ecotherapy, nature healing?
I love that question, because one of the things that I love about ecotherapy is that, and ecotherapy practices, is that it allows us to recall and to remember our true nature, in that we are nature, and it allows us to more deeply connect with that state of interbeing. What Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing. You mentioned that beautiful word, interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
We are inseparably and integrally connected with all of nature, because we are nature. We are part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
We have never been separate or other than nature. That's the big misunderstanding that has been perpetuated in our culture. And so the ecotherapy practices or nature-based healing practices together for me sort of bring together these beautiful practices and experiences of gratitude, of belonging,
yes, mm-hmm.
of healing, of love and compassion, and of spirituality and the mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things are part of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
We don't, as a in our culture at least, we don't talk about it that way.
Yeah.
We don't learn about it that way. We don't practice living in that way. So to answer your question, I mean, I think that there are a variety of different nature experiences that people can, that I would invite people to be able to explore based upon whatever is your inner resonance,
mm-hmm.
what calls you based upon your inner resonance, your geography, your access, your ability. Brian, what are some of the ways that you are sort of resonates with you in terms of like nature connections?
Nature played a big role when I was going through cancer treatment. I would go to our local metro parks here, and I would walk for miles with my headphone on, and I would put the scores from movies on, so I didn't have any kind of words going into my head, just sound. And I'd walk through that park and along the riverside and stuff, and mentally it really helped me pull my thoughts together so I could fight this disease. And I know that helped me be one with nature in this system, and it helped me get to a point where I'm now in remission.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I'm so thankful for that. Thank you so much for sharing that vulnerable place.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, I think that, you know, it just depends on what you love, La. I mean, what resonates with you and with you, Brian, and with those listening. I mean, it can be through cooking
mm-hmm.
or gardening. Or meditation. If you are someone that is a creator and you create art or music or poetry, you can enter in that way. Or if you enjoy journaling, or if you enjoy creating ritual,
mm-hmm.
or if you enjoy a variety of different kind of outdoor activities like hiking or swimming or bicycling or whatever resonates with you, you can enter into those practices in a way that allows you to go a little bit more deep into those practices.
Yeah, I love that, Tracy, so much. You know, I read a book a couple months ago called Rest is Resistance by Tricia Hershey, which is an amazing book. I don't know if you've been able to read that yet or not, but it really talks about what you were mentioning earlier about the grind culture, and we are on this place and we almost burn ourselves out trying to keep up with what is demanding of us in our society. But it was saying that to truly resist that world, you have to find rest. And rest is in different places, not just, you know, going and taking a nap, but is it, you know, gazing at the clouds as they go by and letting yourself kind of just meditate like you were speaking about with the water? It's like, how are you finding these little moments of respite during your day to like calm your nervous system down, because of exactly what we've been talking about. It's this constant trauma all the time. So you have to be intentional with finding those spaces of rest. So I'm really appreciative of you sharing so many of those pieces with us today, because it's so important.
I love that you touched on that one of the R words on my list is at the top of my list is rest. Is that these kinds of practices, and I could, you know, give you additional examples, very similar examples, if you are the kind of person who is, you know, called in, you know, you love forests and you resonate with trees, for example. Like, we now know that trees emit these beautiful aromatic components, layers and layers of aromatic components that, in, you know, increase these beautiful happy chemicals in our brains, and increase our ability, just the things I mentioned before, balance our blood pressure and balance our hormones and allow our bodies to fight disease and increase our wound healing time and allow us to feel more peace in a very brief period of time, and that those effects last for a very long time. So that example with the water, you could replicate that, see a further example with a tree, and to be able to enter into that space of gratitude by giving thanks.
Yeah, that's so important. Yeah. Gratitude changes everything, doesn't it? You know, we always talk about that. And I think years ago when Oprah Winfrey talked about keeping a gratitude journal, you know, it definitely changes how you view things and how your body even responds to things when you come at a place of gratitude. So I love that you've mentioned that several times, because you really do have to show up in a place of gratitude to open your heart and your mind and your spirit up to the true healing. So I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So, and so however we enter in to these practices, it's a pathway, I think, for us to experience rest, regeneration, reciprocity, which I think is a very important word for us to talk about, is to re-enter into that relationship with ourselves and with all of nature and the more than human in a state of reciprocity and mutualism that is about a continuum of care rather than taking without caretaking. And it also is a pathway for us to humbly offer some reparation to this land. You know, for example, the three of us right now are in a place called Ohio now on Turtle Island. But this is the indigenous land of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy people, which is also known as the Iroquois Five Nations people. So it's also a path for us to be able to connect with the land and remember that we are inhabiting this land and we are stewarding this land. And we may be naturalized to this place and deeply bonded to this place, but we are not indigenous here. And it allows us to enter into that humble space and remember who we are, how long we've been here, and where we are.
Yeah.
Allow nature to teach us.
Absolutely. That is so powerful. Tracy, my goodness, I feel both elated, I feel restful, just even listening to you talk about this, and I'm thinking about what practices that I can bring into my daily life to help me with my regulating my body and getting really back into nature for that healing, because we all have got to start healing. It's really, really important. So I wanted to ask too, if, you know, are there any projects or any initiatives that you're currently working on that the audience can learn about from you? And then how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, I am. One of my ecotherapy practices is gardening. It is a way in which I can steward this little third of an acre that I am honored and privileged to be able to steward and to be able to restore native plants and native trees to this little piece of land in a way that helps to heal the land, that honors the ancestors of the land, and also creates a beneficial habitat for our pollinators and all kinds of other wildlife. And so one of the things that has been born just organically from that practice is an initiative that I launched a few years ago called Save Ohio Bees. Mm-hmm. And folks can learn about that at saveohiobees.org. And it is a place that it is a living, breathing thing that is still, taking shape, and I hope forever will be. But it's a place where people in our bioregion can go to find free resources to learn about our native bees, which are vital to the sustainability of our ecosystems and our food chain, and the ways that they can restore or develop habitat in their own backyard, schools, and urban gardens. There are tons of free resources there, guides and DIY projects and videos, so that you can do something simple or go as deep as you want to go in learning about this. But that is one of the initiatives that I'm working on.
Love that.
And of course, folks can reach me at my professional home base online at my professional website, thebuzzmaker.com.
I love that.
thebuzzmaker.com as a communicator. Our social channels are both Instagram and Facebook at thebuzzmaker. And then also Save Ohio Bees, if folks would like to visit me there. And then, of course, on the primary website, please feel free to use the contact page. I also offer a free strategy session for folks who would like to learn more about connective communications that benefit our culture and our environment. And those are some ways that you can contact me.
Oh my gosh. I love this so much, Tracy.
That's amazing. Thank you.
It has been wonderful to spend some time with you today. You definitely want me to, you make me want to keep having more time with you, because it's very therapeutic just even hearing your voice, because you can hear the warmth and compassion in your voice. So that empath is really showing up. And we are so grateful again to have you as a part of our podcast episode today. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Oh, how kind of you. Thank you so much for having me and for those beautiful words of encouragement and reflection. It means so much to me. Thank you, all of you, for listening to and spending time with us.
Absolutely.
And I hope to come back again soon.
Oh, we hope you will do that as well. So, Brian, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with us?
Yeah, follow us on Facebook, and you can see all the new episodes coming out, or you can email us at enbwpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Well, that's all for today, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.